The question today is, what is the plan of salvation? We hear a lot of people talk about the plan of salvation, and they have their own 2 cents worth, really, to put in on it. Really, it's more than a plan. It's all about a man, the man Christ Jesus. But I know we hear a lot today about different plans, if you please, of salvation that men use. For instance, some people use what they call the plan of salvation as the Roman road, and I'm not real familiar with that as far as I'm familiar with it more than I am any other so-called plan that men use. But I do know that what they try to teach you to do is how to win souls, and that's not even scriptural. You should be a witness, not a soul winner. The Holy Ghost is a soul winner, but they'll talk about how you need to use certain verses using the Roman road. And they call that the plan of salvation, the Roman road plan of salvation, where they ask you if you're a sinner and get a man to admit that he's a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so, of course, Romans 5:12, wherefore if the one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And I don't know what order that the different people use different orders, but they come down to the last place to where they're talking about Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore they say, all you got to do is call, and they'll get people to call, and therefore they'll tell them they're saved because of using this so-called plan of salvation. It's damnable is what it amounts to, because really it's not really correct, the correct plan of salvation in one sense. I know the Roman road will work if you get a man on the Damascus road before he gets on the Roman road. In other words, if he's under Holy Ghost conviction, the work of God can be done in his heart no matter what scripture you use. Some people use the same plan with every man, and I call that the Ken plan of salvation. But Jesus never used that type of a plan. He never dealt with any two sinners the same way. He told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And why? Because he's depending on his first birth. He knew exactly where he was at, and he said, you've got to be born from above. Your first birth not going to get you in. And so therefore, he never used the Roman road plan of salvation on that man. Also, on the woman at the well, I guess I could say, there was a woman at the well. He never used the Roman road plan of salvation on her. In fact, he just revealed himself to her what it amounted. He dealt with her sin and then dealt with a problem, put his finger on the problem. She didn't denounce that, and she came to a place to where she knew that the Messiah cometh, and he revealed himself to her as the Messiah, and she went back a saved woman. So the plan he used was not the Roman road plan of salvation. The rich young ruler, he came, and what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, go sell that you've got and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowful because he had many riches, and he didn't use the Roman road plan of salvation on that man. Keep the law and such like. Jesus knew their problem, and he dealt with them where they were and led them to himself. You and I don't know the problem. If we use the canned plan, then we're going to get in trouble every time. You see, it's not the canned plan. It's not the Roman road plan. It's not the plan of raise your hand, repeat after me this prayer, and pray the sinner's prayer, some would say. Luke 18, where they use the parable of the publican, as he smote his chest, wouldn't so much look up as God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That word merciful, it's the same root word as propitiation, which means you're my sacrifice, you're my substitute, you're my mercy seat. And if that man understood that, then any man who understands that will be saved, and no matter what you say. And so it's not the words you say, it's not praying some prayer. Then there's other people say, just open your heart and let Jesus come into your heart. Folks, you can't open your heart. Your heart's the doorknob's not on the outside like some people teach today. I know the Bible said in Revelation 3:20, I'm knocking at the door, if any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him. But he's talking to a church. He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about a church who's done exactly what a lot of people have done today in this so-called plan of salvation. They've used it and filled the church full of lost people, and they push Jesus out because of some plan. And that's not scriptural. It's not Bible. It's not based on that. So you can't open your heart and let Jesus in. The Bible said in Acts 16, Lydia's heart was opened by the Lord. The Lord has to open your heart. So it's not some plan of just asking Jesus in your heart and opening the door of your heart. And there's many, many more plans that people use. There's something called the four spiritual laws that some people use, and so they use those things. I've heard some others speak of some different things that they use. They call it the plan of salvation. Folks, I want to tell you, you use the same thing all the way through. As far as the same can plan, all you're going to do is make a tear, and you're going to have a ministry. It's going to be a tear-making ministry, and then all you're going to have to do, you'll be doing, is trying to prop people up, get them to feel good about themselves, trying to keep them in a good spirit with a positive attitude that they're saved. And what's going to happen? They're going to point their finger back at you at the great white throne judgment just before they're cast in the lake of fire and say, "Why did you do that?" Now, mind you, most of those who do that will be with them at the same judgment and be cast in the lake of fire with them, and they'll claw out the eyes, try to at that time. Well, you see, there's no certain plan that man uses is not right. But yet, there's really one plan of salvation that I want to share with you, just to let you know what the Bible said. You see, there's only one plan of salvation, and first of all, it's of sovereign design. It's not man's design. It's not something that man's cropped up. It's sovereign design. Now, a lot of people get upset over the word sovereign. The word sovereign is a word which means chief, supreme, above all others, and that's our Lord Jesus. He is chief. He is supreme. He is above all other, for there is no other. So his plan of salvation has remained intact since before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 17, or 18 through 20, he said, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So there's only been one plan of salvation, and that's of sovereign design. God the Father designed it back yonder in eternity past, and therefore that plan has been intact since before the foundation of the world. In other words, in the Old Testament time, we know they had many types and many pictures that pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I told you, the plan of salvation involves a man, but it's of sovereign design. You see, there's an ark in the Old Testament time when the flood came. Noah built an ark, and that ark only had one door. That was a picture of Jesus Christ, who John 10 says is the door. And then, of course, there were sacrifices that were types used throughout the Old Testament. Even right out of the garden, there was sacrifices made. And all these sacrifices of Old Testament time are nothing but just pictures. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1 said, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." You see, those sacrifices had to be offered again and again and again. Those sacrifices couldn't make one who brought them perfect. He had to identify with them. He had to go through a certain ritual to offer those, but they pictured the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if they put their faith in that sort of sacrifice, that Old Testament sacrifice, they died and they went to hell. But you see, they put their faith in what that sacrifice pictured, which was the Lamb of God. And that's why John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming after his temptation out in the wilderness, in John chapter 1, verse number 29, he said, the next day John saith Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In other words, look yonder. There's him, the one that's going to take it away. He said, all these years we've been offering sacrifices because all they did is cover our sin one more year at a time. And we've got to do it again and again because it's just a picture. Now, if they put their faith in the picture, they died and went to hell. But if they put their faith in what the picture represented is, that there's coming a Messiah, then they were saved. They were saved. You see, on this side of the cross, if people put their faith in their baptism, they're not saved. You've got that. That's only a picture. And you've got to put your faith in what the picture represents, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he needs to become your Lord, you see. So, therefore, it's his plan. I'm talking about God the Father's plan. It's of sovereign design. Ephesians 1:4, he said, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Don't get excited about that. God just said he chose us in him. He chose his Son. You get in him, and you're going to be chosen too. You're going to find out you're chosen too. Now, that's a sovereign design. That's the way God designed it that way. And so as a result, we need to see that God doesn't say any, many, mighty, mo, some to hell, some to heaven and whatnot. No, he said according as chose us in him. And he did that before the foundation of the world. So you see, Jesus is no afterthought. He's of sovereign design. And that involved the foreknowledge of God, which we cannot understand. You see, the Bible speaks in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 as he's writing to the elect, of the elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. So you see, that's God's plan of sovereign design. He said, in other words, he had foreknowledge. He is a master potter, knows what he can do with clay. And we don't understand the foreknowledge of God, but in God's foreknowledge, it's not that he saw anything good in any man, because it's not good, no, not one. But he also, as being God and having foreknowledge, he knows exactly what clay will mold to his field. His wheel. Therefore, he knows exactly what clay to dig, and he digs the clay that will conform to his wheel. And thank God for that. But you still realize, though, the foreknowledge of God's involved, and we cannot understand the foreknowledge of God. The Bible said in Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, see, you can't touch the foreknowledge of God. He knows all things before the beginning. So when we're talking about the plan of salvation, what is the plan of salvation? It's not these man-made plans, whether it be the Roman road, the spiritual laws, or whether it be praying some sinner's prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart, or opening your heart, and those type things that can plan, for instance. But there's only one plan, and that is of sovereign design. God, the chief, supreme, above all others, designed this plan back yonder in the council halls of God, in eternity past, somewhere before the earth was ever hung out on nothing, and therefore Jesus is no afterthought. Now, some people try to say, well, God's plan didn't work in the garden. Adam ate of the tree, and he was kicked out, and he had to come up with a new plan, and he went through what we call the period of conscience, and man was saved a different way during that time. That's what man says. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's what man says, or some people say. And then, of course, that didn't work out, and God come up with a plan with the ark, and of course, people sinned, and he ushered in human government, and that didn't play. And they tried to build a tower, and he had to come up with another plan, that of promise during Abraham's day, and that didn't work out. And he had to come up with law. That didn't work up. Then he came up with Jesus. I'll tell you, and that's not so. Jesus is no afterthought. Back yonder in eternity past, Jesus, the Son of God, was slain. And therefore, it's of sovereign design, the plan of salvation that our Father has. Thank God for that. This is Edgar Lee Pascoe, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.